Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith here with
Evil Gene.
And we just watched the Cavs lose. What was the final score, EG?
14 billion to
it wasn't 70, that bad.
74 million. No, I mean, it felt like the game took 5 hours, and it felt like it was 140 to 124.
And what? Let me pull this up because the free throw count.
Oh, it was like 70 free throws between the two teams.
Yeah, it was insane.
I'll give you an exact count
here. It was 69. 69 free throws.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis took 16 free throws. And it was a little bit ridiculous. Like, you could not sneeze on the Pelicans without them. And give them credit. They made 36 of 39.
I mean, the Cavs made 26 of their 30, but...
Yeah. But that's...
Even still, like, just these refs, this ref trio was like, everything was it. It was like watching... watching an NFL game where there's a flag on every play.
Yeah, it was insane, and some of them were just
beyond touch.
The one where Colin Sexton looked like he was maybe in his way, and then got out of the way, but they called it anyway, and it was like,
yep,
like seriously, like,
nope, too late. You weren't quick enough, Colin.
Yeah.
Or like the one where Deli was taking the 3-pointer, and Fred Jackson idiot ran into his arm. And they only gave him two
because they said he was passing, but it was like, yeah, it looked like it was because the shot never got very far, but.
Yeah, because he ran into his freaking arm. Meanwhile, that guy has already clearly gone to the Steph Curry school of flopping.
Oh, what was his name? Frank Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He flopped on 2 threes. I mean, he had a great game. He had 19 points on 5 shots. But 7-7 at the line because of two free throws.
Yeah, 2 flops where he wasn't touched. If you go back and look at the replay,
yeah,
was not touched.
Yeah, and yeah, it was a pretty ridiculous game. The Cavs played an awesome first half.
They couldn't miss in the first half.
Yeah, they were perfect in the first quarter from three, if I'm correct.
Yeah, eight of eight.
8 of 8, and. Our boy Deli had a fantastic game, 6 of 8 from the field, 17 points, 7 assists.
I mean, over an average 35-minute night. That's like 25 and 10.
Yeah, I mean, he only played 20 minutes. It's like 30 and 14. Or 30.
Well, I'm assuming he's not going to miss only 2 shots, but still.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah, I mean, it was nice to see the Cavs shoot 14 of 30 from three. Jordan Clarkson was tearing it up in the first half. Unfortunately, he kind of fell back down to earth in the second half. Tristan Thompson looked like he expended most of his energy the night before, but also had the unenviable task of
trying to go against
Davis.
Yeah.
And he was a game low minus 21, but he still finished with, 6 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, a decent stat line.
They have a pretty tall and active front line too with Randall and Miller and Mirotic and Okafor. They got a lot of tall, decent sized guys that can throw at you.
Yeah. And Cameron Payne, a really nice game too.
Wasn't he like your least favorite guy, or is it somebody else's least favorite guy in the NBA?
I didn't think he was very good, but I didn't have a... See, I like may... No, I looked him up because I was going to smack talk him because I got him confused with Adrian Payne, who'd had all the sexual assault stuff at Michigan State, but completely different guy. So I was like, no, I'm not even going to comment because I don't, you know me and names.
Yeah. Well, so, especially when they're the same last name.
Exactly. So I didn't know a ton about him. I knew he had a lousy RPM, but I mean, he's been shooting great in the two games they've played. Has a lot of confidence, a lot of swagger, more of a scoring guard. Yeah. But you know,
well, he's got that weird release, but it certainly seems to go in from three. He's got that one spot at the top. It's like the top right of the key that, yeah, or the 3-point arc.
And
that
he
just
shoots
his
it
money
going
from.
To his right. It's he's almost like
he's a lefty too.
You know what it is?
Right?
He's like a mirror image of Lonzo Ball, like because Lonzo Ball does the same thing on the right side.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, they have very
not quite as like sideways handed. But
yeah, I mean Cameron Payne looks like he's 3/4 of the way faced. Like it's so odd. I mean he
as long as it goes in, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you can tell he kind of has a herky jerky game that throws people off. But yeah, even Ante Zizic, real nice night tonight. 10
Ante
points.
Did well. Ante did a lot of diving and a lot of had a lot of good footwork under the hoop and was smart enough not to bring the ball down too much. So a lot of good finishes.
A game high plus 12.
Yeah.
10 points, 4 boards, 2 assists. The Cavs had 27 assists tonight, which was really nice.
I felt like Delly had a really good chemistry with Ziz when he was in there.
And Clarkson. Like, Delly just knows how to feed Clarkson.
Yeah.
And they run
those guys, I mean, when they start in the backcourt together, they really feed off each other nicely.
Yeah. Yeah. And Alec Burks, a pretty decent game, another nice shooting game, 2 of 3 from three-point land and 17 points at, you know, His scoring resurgence is going to only help his trade value, so I'm really happy to see that.
Yeah,
Chetty
kind of a rougher night for most of the rest of the starters, though.
So. Yeah, Chetty Osmond, 3 of 9, just 10 points. Had some nice plays, but
most of them were in the first half, though.
Yeah, some turnovers really kind of lost his focus a couple times in the second.
Those two of the threes that the only two threes he had in the first half. Really, he looked confident. He had that. He kind of had that Korver stroke going. He, you know, and he's got such a quick first step. I don't know why he doesn't use it more.
I think he's still kind of getting feeling his game out a little bit. But to me, the guy Colin Sexton was pretty brutal tonight. 2 of 12, minus 21. He. Just
although he had some really nice driving kicks,
yeah, and
I thought were that guys just missed the shot, but
and he got to the line. He was 8 of 8 at the line, so yeah. It's just
it's hard if you're a guard that doesn't use the glass. It's going to be really hard to score against Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and it's not as if you know Julius Randle is a terrible defender either. You know,
well, he's not Anthony Davis, but he's
no.
Long.
But what I'm saying is, he's a real power forward. So,
yeah.
You know, if somebody takes out Davis, there's still guys there that can block your shot. You know, it's not like the Cavs where they're running wings at the four. You know,
no. The biggest problem tonight really was the Cavs just didn't have enough depth on the front line.
Yeah,
and guys, and because I think I said it on the thread they. The Pelicans were just running the same play over and over and over again. Where they have it would either be Holiday or Frazier up top, or Elfrid Payton up top, and then they would just bounce. You know, Anthony Davis would beeline down the lane, and they'd just bounce it to him. And he if there was a guy in front of him, they'd get called for a touch foul. Or he would just kick it out to a 3-point shooter.
Yeah, or if they switched, he would. I mean, he got Colin Sexton and Sexton switched on him, and Sexton just didn't chuck him early enough or high enough, and it was just like, oof. And by the time he got Sexton on him in the low post, it was over.
Yeah. You know. It's difficult playing him straight up when you're not on a back to back and you have all your guys healthy, but certainly not having Nance hurt them and his length, not having, you know, Love and Henson and really most of their front court rotation.
Yeah.
You know, or even a Nawaba, because Nawaba is long enough where he could at least check him, but you know, on a switch, but yeah, it's unfortunately when
you're going to get called for every touch foul on Davis.
Yeah.
And he's going to make his free throws. You know, he had a 38-13-7 line with 2 steals and 4 blocks and 1 turnover. I mean,
he's the golden turd of centers.
Well, but I don't really feel like it's the same thing, because I didn't really feel like, you know, James Harden is playing for the foul. I didn't really feel like Anthony Davis was playing for the foul. The refs were just giving it to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference there. Would you agree?
Yeah, although there were a couple that, I mean, because he's such a good ball handling center, because he was a point guard before the growth spurt, he definitely has some plays that he's looking for contact.
Yeah. Oh, I'll agree with you there. And
but I agree. I mean, he's not a serious flopper. I mean, he's not Joel Embiid
or Frank Jackson.
Or Frank, Jesus, that guy. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, this Pelicans team, you almost wonder why they're not better. I mean, and I think,
I'll tell you why they're not better, because they run the same play every time.
Well, that is true, and also
Mirotić has been out for a while.
And they just have a lack of wing depth. I mean, after you get past Holiday and Payton, there's a humongous drop-off. I mean, Frank Jackson can light the Cavs up, but, you know, Kenrick Williams is not, as a sixth man from the wing, is not going to strike fear in the heart of anyone.
Well, is Solomon Hill injured, or is he just not being used?
Or I think he's just Solomon Hill.
Well, Etwan Moore
was hurt, but, you know, Etwan Moore is an average player at best.
Not against the Cavs, but
yeah, exactly. But, you know, Julius Randle,
I think Mirotić was the big loss.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, because he's been, I mean, last year he was really so solid for them, you know, with the inside out threat. I mean, I can't stand the guy, but I'm sure if he was on my team,
I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
Well, and he's a classic Cavs killer too. And as much as I hated him with the beard, I almost hate him more without it. I mean, he is a goofy looking bastard without that beard.
I mean, yeah, he'd been out for a month. His last game was
he'd missed 12 games.
December 10th. Yeah. So, and he'd missed a few games before that too. Like, it looked like he really hadn't played consistently since the beginning of December. So
yeah, and he had 17 tonight, 4 of 7 from three, and he had 1 3 from like 30 feet out that would kind of just like the Cavs were close, and that was kind of the backbreaker.
Yeah, that's right. They were that's what got him to 100.
Yeah,
the third,
and then you know, Drew Holiday just super solid. There's nothing he kind of doesn't do well on a basketball court.
How do they let him wear that do-rag?
I love it. I would. I mean, he wears.
No, I'm not. It's fine. I'm just saying. Like, I would think in a David Stern NBA, I don't think he'd be allowed to do it.
Oh, I don't think so either. I mean,
maybe in an Adam Silver when he can, but I've never seen a guy allowed to wear a do-rag on the court. I mean, headbands are one thing, but like,
it's a headband that's tied in the back. Yeah, I mean, I really wish it had a Cobra Kai symbol on it. That would be fantastic.
Sweep the leg, Billy.
Johnny,
sorry.
Don't test me on Karate Kid.
Yeah, that's okay.
I've seen the Karate Kid a lot.
Too many times, yeah.
Well, it's like one of those, it's like every time it comes on cable, I'm like, Chris, it's the Karate Kid, and she just like shakes her head and goes in the other room.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize this. So this is Johnny's last basket. Became the seventh Cav in double figures. They didn't have any problems scoring, that's for sure.
No.
It's probably the biggest problem for New Orleans is that outside of AD's shot blocking, they're most nights just trying to outscore teams.
Well, and, you know, against a team that actually has depth on the inside, you can pack the paint against them. And, you know, we're going to make Anthony Davis fight two guys all game, and if somebody else beats us, then somebody else beats us, and usually they don't have the bodies to do that. I mean, you can almost play like a box and one with the one on holiday against them because, you know, Elfrid Payton can't shoot, although he's a good distributor.
Yeah.
And they just don't have a lot of shooting outside of Miritich and Jrue Holiday. And, yeah, and they have health issues. So I don't know. I mean,
wow. The Cavs had 75 points from their bench tonight.
Yeah, I mean, their bench was fantastic.
That's crazy.
Dellavedova was just so much fun in the first half.
He looked like he had his energy back.
Yeah, and what was his first game with the Cavs playing both ends of a back-to-back, which was really nice to see.
That's what he needs. He needs to be like, you know, run to exhaustion to play his best.
Yeah.
As we know from finals past.
Yeah, if he's not getting IV after the game, he hasn't played hard enough.
Yeah, he hasn't played hard.
Well, the problem is...
Got to make him earn that coffee.
If he was in shape, he wouldn't need...
True.
He wouldn't need the IVs.
I mean, he's such a doughy, out of shape dude.
He's gotten much better at finishing, it seems like to me, around the basket. Like, he's got so many, like, little tricky moves where he can lay it off from weird angles and stuff. He definitely seems like a better player than before he left.
I just love his court
vision.
More
experience. Oh, yeah, his court vision's amazing.
I mean, that's a thing. Like, you put a lineup out there, because I think he rubs off on Clarkson in a good way.
He does, because
Clarkson really moved the ball tonight.
Well, it almost reminds me of when he played with Dion Waiters. You know, because like he knew all of Waiters' spots to get him the ball, and he's kind of the same thing with Clarkson. And the nice thing is like Clarkson, and the same thing with Waiters, knows if you give the ball back, ball to Delly, and then you move and get open, he'll get it back to you.
Yeah, you'll get it back.
Yeah, or somebody else will get a good shot. I mean, to me, that's invaluable. So.
Right. Well, and that's half the battle with guys like that is getting them to believe that, hey, you're going to get the ball back. I'm not just going to, you just need to learn to be a little more unselfish with it, and good things will happen.
Yeah, you'll actually score more and have a higher percentage.
Because I got to say, I was really impressed for most of the game the way they were moving the ball. It stuck a little bit towards that run that the Pelicans went on was like a – like a 12-2 run to end the half. The first half was it seemed to like once Delly went out, it started to gum up a little bit. But
shocking. I don't know how that happens, but
I gotta say, like, I'm looking forward to everyone being healthy, because I feel like as good of a passer as Delly is, and Nance is, and Love is, and I mean, you could really put a great team out there of smart, high basketball IQ guys with floor vision that could be. You could really put out some interesting lineups, I think.
I actually think Alec Burks impresses me with his passing.
Yeah, Burks has been good too.
Yeah. He's kind of gotten back in a groove because he was in the starting lineup, left the starting lineup. Now that he's back, he's in a pretty good groove.
Well, Channing's good too, but it's hard to play him against for very long against AD.
Yeah, well, and we talked about this last night when the Cavs were down by, were they down by 26 in the first half? And just looked like they'd given up the ghost and played a super exciting second half, cut it all the way back to five. And to me, Channing Frye's professionalism and, you know, doing the little things and talking and just...
Oh, yeah. I made sure to include that.
Oh, yeah, I know. I read that. I really enjoyed your recap, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was one of those just... Sometimes stuff just comes to me and it was just... I don't know why I was looking... I was like, oh, yeah, that would fit. When I read that song, I'm like, yeah, that really fits. So...
Yeah, I mean, Channing Frye, again, he only played 9 minutes tonight, but seven of that was in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So I was...
Well, he had a big three, and kept that. I mean, that was crazy, the way they were shooting it in that first quarter. I mean, you knew it wasn't sustainable, but...
Yeah, especially
they still
on the back-back. Yeah.
They still shot, 47% from three for the game? I mean, 14 of 30, this is the second straight night that they've shot 45% or better from three and actually attempted upwards of, you know, 25 plus three-pointers. So that's definitely a trend in the right direction.
Yeah, and I almost wonder if that has something to do with Rodney Hood being out. You know, Rodney, I'm going to...
I've never met a three I couldn't step in and take a two on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's interesting. I'm a little... I don't know what your take on this is, but I feel like there's two different Cavs teams. There's a Larry Nance Cavs team and a Tristan Thompson Cavs team, and they're really different in a lot of ways. And yeah. I kind of felt like the Tristan Thompson comeback game against the Pelicans, one of the low lights of the season when they lost by 35, and it was kind of Tristan's first game back, really... Mm. It really felt like it would the change in tone of him starting versus Larry Nance starting really jarred the team. Yeah. And I almost it'll be interesting. I don't know if those two can coexist on the same team. It'll be interesting to see.
I think they can, but they just have to be employed the right way.
Yeah.
And I don't think they are.
Yeah. To me the problem is that they can't. I mean, when Kevin Love comes back, there's obviously, you know, 96 minutes to split between the three, and maybe they can do it that way. But I'm not sure that. But in the NBA now, you're not going to run a real four, you know, 100% of the time. You're going to run a wing at the four some of the time. So I don't know if there's enough minutes there. To give Nance
You got to start Nance with the one.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you, Sexton.
To the two, and then just play, you know, Jetty, Love, and Tristan on the front line.
There you go. Yeah.
Seriously, just have Nance work on his dribbling and his 3-point shot in the off season. It'll be good.
So yeah, because
then it'll be. You know,
one of the things I wanted to ask you, I have seen, and I don't know if you've seen, but I've seen Colin Sexton off the ball a lot more, and I'm not sure it's a good thing. I mean, if he's a good shooter and he can move without the ball, but I don't really see him doing that much. And he seems like a terrible guy to score off the cut. And part of the reason is the way he gets his layups. Like when you're a cutter, you have to actually be moving towards the basket, and it's really hard to score a no bank layup on a cut.
He's got to learn how to use the glass.
Yeah.
And he's got to be more decisive because he's not going to be able to be a point guard if he can't be more decisive.
Yeah. Well, I just tweeted right before the podcast. I was like, Colin Sexton is a quarterback that only throws checkdowns and crossing routes. Like he just,
he's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. He makes,
pretty fast.
Most safe, most obvious pass every time to me, it seems like. Although I was super impressed with that oop he had towards the end of the game.
Last game, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with your sentiment there. That was his best, probably one of his best plays of the year.
Okay, I have a question completely unrelated to the Cavs. How is it that Ingram looks like he's lost 15 pounds since the start of the season? He actually looks skinnier. Brandon Ingram. Have you noticed that he actually looks skinnier?
I can't tell. I mean, I can barely
watch
see him
on
the court anyways.
Yeah.
He's always been skinny.
He's turned sideways and you can't see him.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot of use for that guy.
Did you see the death lineup tweet?
Oh my God.
So
I think Kuzma needs to chill out a little bit. It's like, hey, dude, maybe you see if you guys can win a few games without LeBron there.
Yeah, if you'd been drafted by Utah, no one would know who you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing better than guys talking with the hubris of guys that have won championships. Just because there's ones hanging in the rafters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I will say if they do somehow manage to get AD from the Pelicans to the Lakers, and I'm not giving that a high probability, mostly because I just don't think, I think Magic and Palinka are going to struggle to get out of their own way, most likely. But
and they may not be able to wait that long.
They may not be able to. But if they did, I do think that LeBron AD pairing, even at LeBron's age, would be as close to Magic and Kareem as you could probably get.
Yeah,
because that would be the kind of like the way you'd run that team through there. I mean, it's that would be kind of
I'm trying to think of an equivalent, and you're probably right. That probably is as close as it gets. I mean, because there hasn't ever been. The thing is, AD is so much younger than Kareem was when Magic got there. You know what I mean?
Well, it's just a flip. It's the flip where Kareem was old and Magic was young, and in this version, LeBron's old and AD is young. So, but similar kinds of, I mean, with a 6'9", you know, point guard, or in this case, point forward, and and a 7-foot. Center who's actually a lot more mobile and can handle the ball more than Kareem did. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting. I mean, that's probably LeBron's best shot at one more championship is if that eventually happens, and if it happens sooner than later, then maybe a couple. But I don't see another one guy that gets it done for him with the rest of the teams as in the league is currently constructed, but who knows?
Yeah. And yeah, you don't know. I mean, it's kind of funny because you look at, if the Lakers had Julius Randle and who's the other guy they let walk. Oh, Brooke Lopez. If they had Julius Randle and Brooke Lopez, they would look really good right now. You know what I mean? I mean, Brooke Lopez, or is, they call him in Milwaukee Splash Mountain, which is
Splash Mountain. Oh, because of the
because he's really tall and he shoots three. I actually think that's really funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, they call him Splash Mountain, but
can't play defense though.
No, but he can rebound and he's 7 feet tall and nobody can block his shot.
Yeah. That's true. And the Lakers don't have a lot of three-point shooters. So.
And when you play with Giannis Antetokounmpo, you can get away with not being the greatest defender at the five because Antetokounmpo can block anything. So,
yeah, true. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, when you see Boogie Cousins come back in another week or two, right?
Yeah, that's going to be wild. I mean,
Boogie's going to come back before the Zinger, which surprised me.
Kevin Love, yeah.
Yeah, well, Kevin, I mean, I think that's sort of a, hey, we don't really need you to come back before you're ready, and Love saying, I don't really want to come back before I'm ready. I mean, that's both sides pulling for kind of the same thing.
Well, I don't think Kevin Love wants to even come back before the trade deadline because...
No, because he might not be here, but he probably will.
No, I don't think anybody's going to trade for him sight unseen, and if he comes back before the trade deadline, he's good, and if he doesn't come back, or, you know, then somebody's going to possibly try and trade for him. If he doesn't come back before the, or if he's bad, then the Cavs are kind of SOL because he doesn't have enough time to, you know, play his value up again. So, yeah, I think it's probably in both their best interest to wait it out. And kind of see what shakes out for the team. So, in the meantime, you got any interest in signing Gundrop Bear to play some minutes at the four for the Cavs?
I mean,
do you want me to pause recording here?
No, it's okay. It's just my stupid phone. it stopped. I mean, why not? Right. I just don't know why he'd want to come back to the Cavs.
Well, they need minutes at the four. I mean, that's clearly right now.
Yeah, I know. I mean
they need rebounding and...
Oh, no. The G League, to me, is a great place to pad
your stats. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
great, like, insane stats that never translate.
It or rarely translate, yeah.
I mean, wasn't what's his name? Who's the guy that they had for 2 years that... was like 30, and they debated whether or not they should cut him. John, well, I can't think of his last name. with the dreads, John.
John Holland. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, John Holland was like a 30-point scorer in the G League, but, you know, you put him in the Cavs, and it's like, well, yeah, he can score that in garbage time or in the last game of the year when no one cares.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys that have made a good, excuse me, made a name for themselves in the G League. Quinn Cook is a guy that,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, look, I should.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Sure. I shouldn't begrudge it. I'd be more than happy for Gumdrop Bear to get another shot, given how poorly his previous one went.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, it definitely there's a huge adjustment, and I got to go check out another G League game here, but it's a completely different it's a completely different level of basketball. I mean, almost like the junior college of the NBA.
I still think Bonzi Colson could be helpful, though.
Oh, absolutely. I do, too. I mean,
I've seen... Look, Blossom Game actually made his three shots, but they were all in garbage time.
Yeah.
Jalen Jones played some decent minutes tonight, gave him some good minutes, but his shooting hasn't... I mean, he had that one initial game where he was deadly from downtown, and since then I think he shot about 25%, but...
On Blossom Game, he's a 3-and-D wing that they're asking to play the 4, and he just doesn't have the size to hold up there.
No.
I mean, he's just too easy to root out of the, and he's not a great defensive rebounder, and...
Well, they might be, they might have to sign Gumdrop Bear, because, you know, he might be the only number one pick that they'll be able to... to have next year. So.
Oh, come on.
Dude, I know. Lots of people saying, people on local radio, people say, I will say this. It's the Cavs, and it's the NBA. and why you would ever put yourself in a position to be, I wrote it at the end of the
why
Cavs.
Why would
you put yourself anywhere close to a situation where the NBA could come down on you.
Yeah.
In an arbitrarily random investigation that who knows what. I mean, look, people have said outside of a signed letter of confession from McCaw's agent or the Cavs, there's no case or there's no ground to stand on. But who knows? Who knows what emails are out there or... You know, I mean, look what happened with the Ty Lue voicemails.
Oh, like, I can see.
Wasn't that the basis of that whole ageism case?
Yeah, and we haven't heard what happened with that, and I kind of
wish
sure somebody would follow up. I would almost bet you cash money the Cavs settled.
I'm sure they did. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, and the funny thing about the whole thing, like you were saying, maybe you do make that risk for a LeBron James or to pay a third of $1 million for Patrick McCaw just to annoy Joe Lacob.
Yeah, they basically just paid $300,000 to jab the Dubs and say, well, because. I mean, do you really think Patrick McCaw is getting off the bench for the Dubs in the playoffs this year?
Well,
sitting out for the way we saw him play for the Cavs, like there's no way that dude's even anywhere close to basketball shape. Like,
oh yeah, he's still a month away.
He needs to eat some power bars. He needs to get some supplements.
Yeah,
that dude might be skinnier than Ingram right now.
I knew you were going there. Yeah, he's skinnier than Brandon Ingram right now. No, you're totally right.
For the people that say, oh, he's like Sean Livingston light. Well, what the hell does that mean? Like, with Sean Livingston at this point is only giving you probably 15 to 20 minutes a game and a few points and a few rebounds and assists off the bench. Like, you're not – I don't see McCaw being an integral part of that team anyways. So they were never going to match. I mean, they were just – kind of stringing it along and keeping it like, oh, it'll be an extra body for us if we need one.
Yeah.
You know, another 3-and-D guy we can throw it at James Harden if we need to.
Yeah.
But
well,
yeah,
I think it also
that
became
was, that was my whole point. That was my whole point, which is why? Why take that? Why even if they did nothing wrong, even if it's proven that they did nothing wrong, even the smallest chance that you could possibly put your number one pick in jeopardy in a year that's pretty good draft that you should be no worse than the top fourth or fifth pick of, why would you do that?
I mean, the answer to that is if you think Patrick McCaw actually has a chance to be good, and I think that is actually part of what the deal was, because you know the Cavs had to write that contract in a way that basically they knew the Warriors wouldn't match, you know, and that's part of that. And but
oh,
obviously,
I get it.
Once
I get
start,
all of that.
Yeah, but once he started playing, you're like, oh, this guy doesn't have anything right now. He's going to take a month to kind of come back into game shape before we'll know anything about him. And oh yeah, we've offered him way too much money to make that a sane option for us.
Yeah.
So
I get it, and it would only ever matter if it was the two teams or three teams that would matter if they complained about it, and that's the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No other team is going to, well, maybe Dallas because of Cuban, because I'm sure he'd throw a fit. But look, this is the same Dan Gilbert that blocked the, helped block the CP3 going to Los Angeles, right?
Oh, yeah, he wasn't.
Same Dan Gilbert that, like, you know, he's had a few of those moments, even beyond, like, the LeBron moments and the Comic Sans or whatever. Like, he's had some moments he's really pissed off some other owners in the NBA, you know.
Well, and the players. I mean, a lot of the CBA that annoyed a lot of the players, and the big, you know, markdown of the BRI where it went from 53% to 50% was, you know, Dan Gilbert standing for the small market owners, and then oh yeah, LeBron comes back and that's all out the window.
Yeah,
you know,
well, and that's the point is, yeah, that look, I know there's nobody on the Cavs and certainly not McCaw or his agent, because I'm sure he's thrilled to be with the Raptors for the rest of the season, because the Raptors have a legit shot at the title.
Yeah,
so why would you want to be on the Cavs? Like, well, I get it.
Although if really you're playing for a legit shot at the title, your best odds were probably to just offered him 2 years, 5.6, but the second year wasn't guaranteed, and I guess that pissed him off. And I don't know. I mean, he had one of the worst injuries of the playoffs last year when he landed on his – it wasn't the playoffs. It was toward the end of the regular season when he landed on his back. And,
yeah. No, I remember
out.
It.
And maybe that left a sour taste in his mouth, the way that we don't know all the details. It. But and you know, the other side of this is Joe Lacob is just as big of a PIA as Dan Gilbert. You know, Joe Lacob doesn't like people, you know.
I can't stand Joe Lacob.
Yeah, exactly.
I know people that have dealt with. I mean,
yeah,
yeah.
He'll piss in somebody's oatmeal just to piss in their oatmeal.
The guy's a scumbag. No, I get it. But that's the problem. It's like, why open yourself up to that?
Oh, I know.
I just don't get it. When you have so much, look, the Cavs don't have much to lose, but the one thing they do have to lose is a potential number one overall pick. If you lose out on a Zion Williamson because of freaking Pat McCaw, like that's a franchise killer.
Yeah, I mean it's a
that's all. I'm, that's
it's
all. I'm
definitely
trying to
a
say.
Slap fight between billionaires. But
of
yeah,
course.
I take your point there. I mean
that's all I'm getting at. It just seems like a bad decision.
Yeah,
especially if McCaw wasn't ever going to be the guy that you thought he was. And, I mean, look, it's worse if this is actually what they did, and just nobody will cop to it. It's worse because then you're like basically just saying like, yeah, we just took the risk and paid the $300,000 because we wanted to stick it to Joe Lacob and do, you know, do a solid to McCaw's agent so that maybe he'll cut us a deal the next time we have one of his clients. You know what I mean? Which, like, that's...
Are you really think Bill Duffy's going to give them the time of day for that? No.
No, but Bill Duffy will remember that. Bill Duffy will remember, like, you helped my client get out of purgatory and he got paid and he wound up with another team that could use him that has a shot at a championship. Yeah, he'll remember that.
Or maybe that causes him to at least pick up the phone when he might not otherwise. So
sure. It's just, I don't know. Look, we don't know the whole story. Yeah. I know we don't know the whole story. And it's just, to me, I don't know. It just seems like another questionable decision. Yeah. And,
Speaking of questionable decisions, did you want to talk about the Kyrie rumor we were talking about the other
day? Which one?
The Phil Handy one.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were in, because you got that tweet from that person, right?
Yeah, that basically said, you know, the DL on why they didn't keep Phil Handy was that he's the one that tipped off Kyrie that they were shopping him. And so,
I believe that. I totally believe that.
I it's interesting, that's for sure. And
well, think about of all the things that could have resulted in that. Like, because who's telling Kyrie that they want to trade him? Right, like,
well,
at that point, Griffin still is in play as the GM, right?
Yeah,
until he isn't.
Yeah,
and LeBron's not gonna say anything to Kyrie.
No, LeBron's not gonna say anything to Kyrie. But the other side of that is, you know, as many teams as they were talking to, there's a lot of ways that can get out. You know,
or but don't you think that makes sense as to why they dismissed Handy so quickly?
I certainly think that's plausible. I also think Dan Gilbert just didn't want to pay him, you know, wanted to pay somebody cheaper. I mean, you look at the guys they cut versus the guy they brought in, and it was clear based on the experience of the guys they have, from the training staff to the assistants to everyone else, that it was. And even as Dan Gilbert or as Ty Lue said on the voicemail, the Cavs are going younger. And as we know in the NBA, especially with coaching staffs, younger means cheaper, you know, and, you know, and a lot of times you see this with teams that have, you know, been over the salary cap for a while or whatever. And they try to cut in other areas and, you know, it seems kind of silly and, you know, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic, but it's what happens, you know.
What a strange legacy Dan Gilbert's going to have.
It is. It's an odd legacy.
Because on one hand, he's the first owner to help deliver a championship to the city of Cleveland in 60 years.
And on the other hand, he ran LeBron out of town twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
Although, I think it's debatable if he... I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to know. Like,
that, to me, just the most damning picture ever is him at the White House with the Cubs after they beat the Indians.
Oh, I know.
It's just like, what are you doing? Like, how do you let that picture get taken? But then you're like, well, that's Dan Gilbert, and that's Comic Sans, and that's the voicemail on... Ty Lue left, and it's the Joe Lacob and Patrick McCaw. Like, what are you doing? It's
just poor judgment. Yeah. No, I agree. I get it.
And I'm just agreeing with you. I mean, it's a strange legacy.
it's very complicated. That's for sure. I mean, it's going to be really hard to classify. And the truth is that there, if not for that 2016 championship. It would look really bleak.
It would look really bleak.
for Dan Gilbert.
I mean, and to me, one of the worst trades in NBA history with Kyrie Irving. I mean,
yeah.
And his obsession with sub-5'11 point guards. I mean, it's just, it's a long list of very odd choices.
I bet in his mind, that's the one thing wrong with Colin Sexton, is that he's over 6 feet tall.
Yeah, he's not short enough.
Yeah. Not short enough. It's probably why he's not good. It's not short enough.
Yeah, well,
Do you think IT ever plays against, speaking of short point guards?
I said that 2 years ago, or I said that before he came to the Cavs when they were talking about his injury and everything, and I'm like, a very short point guard that's injured, that's getting to his 30s, I am honestly surprised he's not in China right now, to be honest with you.
Next year, right? Because he's never gonna suit up for Denver, right?
No, and he's not gonna ever make enough money. He can make a lot more money in China than he can here.
Sure, he'll get a statue in China.
A tiny little statue.
I mean, yeah.
He's a giant over there.
Oh man,
I kid.
We need an edit button.
Yeah, I may have to go back and take that out. But yeah, I'm surprised that somebody signed him this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I think he was just insurance for the Nuggets. Sort of almost like a, hey, you know, like, who knows? If he comes back, great.
Reward, yeah.
Yeah. The Nuggets seem to be, like, really experts at that. What with Porter Jr., the guy they picked for in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's probably out for the year.
Yeah, and I think, what was it, last podcast we talked about the Cavs trade. Porter Jr. And actually, I find that intriguing, but I also, like, he could barely walk to the stage at last year's draft.
I know, like, it's so bad.
Yeah. He looked like
bad problems never really go away.
No, they never do. And I mean, especially, I mean, back spasms, yeah, they do. But when you get surgery on vertebrae, it's not good, you know.
Nope. I mean, time to give up the sport when that happens.
Yeah, there's very few people that have come back from that. So
yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I guess I don't know. I mean, the most recent, I know there's the widely varying rumors on Kevin Love are that, you know, one day like Houston wants him and OKC wants him, and then the next day no one wants Kevin Love, and so who knows? I mean,
well, and that's probably true, because it's so funny to me the way perceptions and attitudes, they literally in the NBA change from game to game. And they depend on whether you won a game or whether you lost a game. And
it's the ultimate social media sport.
It is. It is. And it's, well, and part of that is the players are more recognizable. Like NFL players are wearing helmets the whole time, you know, and they're only playing once a week. And, you know,
and you only really know the stars. You only really know the quarterbacks and the wide receivers and, you know, the handful of defensive players that you know, are in TV commercials.
Yeah, the diva positions.
Yeah.
And in baseball, to me, the games are just so dang long, and there's so many foreign players that may not be as marketable to American audiences and kind of don't have the same attitudes on social media. And the NBA is... Yeah, you're right. That's a great analysis. It is the ultimate social media sport.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, I think it, I haven't seen the analytics on it, but I'm sure if you looked into it, like,
oh yeah,
every one of them is on. Yeah. Every one of them has multiple accounts. I mean, just ask Kevin Durant, multiple burner accounts. And no, it's all about tweeting. So, I mean, what other sport is there subtweeting in?
Well, what other sport have we actually lost a GM because of his wife's social media burner account?
Seriously.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Colangelo. So, yeah, it is a little crazy. Yeah, Kevin Durant's burners is the best. Talk about a guy with a strange legacy.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, he'll probably wind up with, what, at least, probably at least three championships, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and so to me, what do you think? So, A, do you think it's still the Warriors' championship to lose?
Yes,
I agree. You know, I'm so sick.
Don't be misled or confused by their subpar start to the year.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, did you see Klay Thompson last night? Oh my gosh,
he's on my fantasy team. Like, I've been waiting for him to do that.
Yeah, and well, and the other part of it is, you know, I am so sick of the January accolades for James Harden. it's like, is this the guy, the greatest scorer of all time? He's doing things that no one else has done. He's like,
meanwhile, Harden was garbage the first month or two of the season.
Well, and he's always garbage the last month of the season.
Yeah, we know
and that's,
that.
And that's the biggest problem.
When it matters.
Yeah, that is the biggest problem with James Harden. No,
I think yeah. I think it's still the Warriors championship. Oh,
I totally agree with
they
you.
They might have trouble against a they might have trouble against a Toronto with Kawhi or a you know I just can't see the Bucks getting there. I mean I know everyone thinks Giannis is great and he is. I just don't think his supporting cast is great enough yet.
My problem with that team is they don't have a closer.
Yeah,
and that and you have to have a closer in the NBA, and Toronto has
Kawhi.
Well, at least and Lowry, at least two. You know yeah. what I mean?
Well, Lowry's had kind of a rough year with the injuries, but
well, yeah. But as a playoff closer, we know he can do that. You know, he's
well, and yeah, and Philly seems to be getting better, and they feel it yeah. seems like they found some guys in Shamit and Korkmaz,
and you talk about a closer, and Jimmy Butler's a closer.
Although they, I wonder if they'll trade Jimmy Butler. Has anybody yeah. ever been traded twice in the same season, like well, of that caliber? I mean,
no,
not saying
I don't
like
think
regular
so.
Regular guys for salary dumps, but
yeah, that would be wild if that happened. I mean, you almost—I
don't even know who you'd trade him to. Miami.
Miami would be an option. You could see. Yeah, Miami would be an option.
Trade
you
Miami could... for like Josh Richardson and. James Jones and a pick or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you'd need to get at least one really good player. And was it you that was talking about the Joel Embiid trade that you would make?
Oh, yeah. I would. Yeah. If I'm both those teams, I would make that trade in heartbeat.
Joel Embiid for Anthony Davis? Yeah.
Yeah, because I think Anthony Davis would play better alongside Jimmy Butler, and I think Embiid is still young enough that the Pelicans could rebuild around him and not miss a beat.
Well, and also the other great thing...
And he's cheaper for right now.
The other thing I totally could see about, you know, Anthony Davis is... Anthony Davis isn't as, you know... I mean, he probably is egocentric, but he hasn't... He's failed for long enough that he doesn't care that he is, quote-unquote, the guy the way Joel Embiid seems to want to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
and Joel Embiid seems to want to pick a fight in every room he's in.
Yeah,
and
well, he can't stop talking either. So.
Yeah, and everything's a competition with him, and I almost feel like he can't get out of his own way. And Jimmy Butler, I think part of the problem with Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid is they're very similar people.
Oh yeah, they're almost and, you know, the same guy.
It's the classic, and we haven't seen this in a while because of these super teams, but it's almost like a team that has two guys that want to be the alpha dog, you know, which was Shaq and Kobe, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And what do they call it? The abundance of joy in Golden State. And
yeah.
even that's fraying now with Kevin.
Oh yeah.
So
no, if, that's the problem. I mean, you know, that's, it's the disease of me is whoever quoted,
the disease
whoever
of
coined
more.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, your friend Pat Riley.
Yep,
the guy,
the sockless curmudgeon himself.
The guy who owns the trademark on three-peat.
It's funny you don't hear much about Riles anymore.
Well, that's because he doesn't want to open his mouth because of the amount of luxury tax that his owner is paying right now. Mickey Arison.
Oh, poor Mickey Arison.
The guy that didn't want to keep Mike Miller around and piss LeBron off.
Yeah. He was going to leave eventually anyways, I think. He saw the writing on the wall with those guys. He knew those guys were a little bit older. He knew D-Wade was already breaking down. And Bosh, I mean, that was unfortunate what happened to him. But look, LeBron is nothing if not a shrewd businessman. And I think he saw that. Saw an opportunity to rebuild his brand in his hometown and did yeah. that, and now he's got an opportunity to still play ball while he's augmenting his or cementing his entertainment industry future.
And maybe and not have to work in May this year. So
he may not have to. That's true. Although, I don't know. I mean,
have they given
people were betting against LeBron so hard when he was in Cleveland. So what's to say he doesn't rise up and do exactly? I mean, it's not like the Lakers are any worse or better than what the Cavs were that year he took the 2 weeks off and absolutely. December, January. So that's basically the same thing. It's just this was this, you know, it's a groin instead of a back. And it's funny, it's an old man injury with the groin, I think. But
oh, yeah, that one hurts, too. Yeah. And it takes a long time to heal.
Well, and he's better off waiting and just saying, like, I mean, for him, it's like, you don't want to be the eighth seed because you don't want to play the Warriors in the first round, but, or maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe they're the most vulnerable in the early rounds when they're not really taking it seriously enough, but I think they would take LeBron seriously.
Oh, yeah, so. You know they would, and they'd, you know they'd want to rub it in his face, too.
For sure. So, I mean, you kind of want to be, like, if you're the seventh seed and you get to, you know, go up against Russ and Paul George or you know the Golden Turd and CP, you know, never healthy. I mean,
yeah.
Then maybe that's more, you know, and you just kind of win enough games to be the sixth or seventh seed, and then you know still wind up in the other bracket, and you got a shot at meeting the Warriors and the conference championship, but I don't know.
Yeah,
they could just easily miss the playoffs altogether with the way the West is playing this year.
Yeah, and so the rumor I've heard is that he's going to come back when the Cavs come to town. So
well, that would make sense.
that would be classic LeBron.
Yeah,
but the bummer thing is, I think that this injury is going to end up invalidating Tom and I's bet, because we had a bet on. If he misses over so many games, then our bet is null and void. Because
who had which side?
So
of it?
I believe I had the over on 45 wins, and Tom had the under. So
right,
and that's below what the Vegas line was, because I think the Vegas line was like 48.5. So
I think you're right. I don't think 45 wins gets it done for the playoffs in the West.
No, but I think he'll still. I think they'll end up with a winning season, but yeah, it's tough. But who knows? I mean, that trade deadline, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Magic and that's part of the reason I don't know if like you said, Anthony Davis gets done, because I think there's a lot of pressure on those two guys, to Magic and Rob, to get to the playoffs this year. And
sure,
with the roster they have, that's and now with LeBron's injury, that ain't a guarantee. So.
Yeah, plus Rondo can't stay healthy, and Kuzma's been injured a little bit too, and Josh Hart kind of dropped off. Eva Zubac or whatever his name is, like he was great when LeBron was there, and then
yeah.
LeBron goes out and all of a sudden he doesn't play.
Eva Zubac Mozgov.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Timofey Zubac.
Yeah.
Speaking of the ever-injured Chris Paul, he and Oscar from The Office, fantastic commercials. I enjoy the one with the robot just kills me. I am so sorry for your automobile.
Man.
Have you seen the deer tearing up the garage and the bowling balls? There's something funny about bowling balls just going awry. So. I'm a very easily amused man.
I guess EP. So. Yeah. Yeah.
This is...
Well, yeah. No. Well, I was going to ask you something before that, though. Oh, yeah. You mentioned something about. I saw your reaction to somebody mentioning that maybe Tibbs would be the Cavs coach next year.
Well, my knee jerk was that I hated it, but when I went back, he wouldn't be the worst. I mean, at least the guy's a decent coach. He just. I think part of the problem was. It was a bad fit for him in Milwaukee with the players he had.
You mean Minnesota?
Minnesota, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. But they were all his old players.
Like, they were...
No, seriously, it was Taj Gibson and...
Those
Jimmy
guys Carter. Weren't the bad fit, though. It was...
And Derrick Rose. Yeah. D-Rose, go kill yourself, D-Rose.
The Timberwolves.
Yeah, I know, but... Yeah, but they were... They were all the same guys. Like, what do you mean?
No, the Timberwolves.
Yeah, no, the Timberwolves. But you think it was just Cat and Wiggins that didn't like him?
Yeah, I think that was totally who it was, yeah.
It's weird they would fire him after a 22-point win, though, right? I mean...
To me, I don't know why they didn't, like, when that Butler's stuff was all going down this summer, and he didn't want to trade him. Like, why doesn't the owner just say, okay, you're no longer the GM then? I'm getting somebody else
to
the GM.
Well, that's probably what the owner said in here, and Tibbs probably said, no, I'm either both or I'm neither. And the guy said, okay, you're neither.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's probably what happened. I mean, if, you know, it probably came to some sort of confrontation like that. But yeah, I mean, look, he's a good defensive coach. The Cavs could certainly use some of that because God knows they don't have one available at the moment or ever. If I see Mike Longobardi's face one more time,
your least favorite moment of every Cavs game is the Mike Longobardi interview coming out of the locker room at halftime.
Yeah, I've gotten to the point where I'm almost coming around to where I kind of want to, like, because I always have a sound off because I can't, as bad as his face is, I can't listen to him. Granted, I don't have the best voice for radio, but man, that guy, just to hear him talk about, to throw out platitudes about defense, it just makes me want to vomit. But yeah, but I've thought about doing that.
At least he quit smoking with Chantix, though.
You love that joke.
I do. I do. I think he just reminds me of Ray Liotta. Like Ray Liotta and Goodfellas.
Yeah, but he's, you know, but he's more like Joe Pesci's stature.
Exactly. So, oh my gosh, when I was at the game, I wish I'd have brought my good camera because I had a picture. Like it.
You have a bad camera?
My good camera.
Right.
Because he is so, like, I swear when he's interviewing with Angel Gray, he's standing up on a block. Like, he just seems so
Ty Lue's old phone books.
Yeah, it's Ty Lue's old phone books. There you go.
No, but I'm toying now with the idea of doing the, like, Mystery Science 3000 thing where he's talking and I'm, like, just putting words in.
Okay, that's pretty, like, that's,
oh,
pretty,
yeah,
fantastic.
If we just hold them to 40 points a quarter, we'll only lose by 50.
I love the two games in a row he said he made halftime adjustments, and then they just got destroyed.
Does it know what adjustments mean?
But then they just got destroyed in the second half, was the funny part of the whole thing.
We got our adjustments all figured out for this one, Angel.
It's good, but you get, yeah, see?
Yeah.
Oh,
we're gonna take him out. See, we're gonna hit him on the knee. No, I wish they'd do that. I wish they'd be more aggressive. Like they finally played some physicality in that second half of that indie game, and yeah, it was refreshing. That's really what helped. Man, I don't think I hit that hard enough in the recap, but like they really hustled. They really got into guys, and they didn't have until the very end. They didn't have an officiating that was blowing random whistles on when they got too aggressive or handsy. But
although one thing I wish, Chetty Osmond has got to stop chasing guys down and then giving them an and one.
Yeah, he's kind of specialty at that, right?
Yeah, it's like either just
the CDF, the chase down foul.
The chase down. Yeah, either foul him and don't let him get his arms up, or don't foul him, but don't do like the weak foul and then, or
they're all too nice except for Deli.
Yeah, exactly. And even Deli, I mean, you haven't seen him just totally throttle guy this year. So
well, he got a real reaction when that Frank ran into his jaw, or his jaw into Deli's.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he like undercuts Deli. Deli hits him in the face with his elbow as he's going up for a jumper. And what did they call? What were they reviewing? Excessive contact.
Hostile action.
Hostile action. I mean, come on. Give me a break.
I'd forgotten a little bit about how much the rest of the league, like, fallaciously thinks that Deli's a dirty player. Thanks, Reggie Miller and some others. But it's funny, like, to hear that, I'm like, oh, yeah, people still see Deli as the guy that broke Kyle Korver's leg or, you know, like, scissor grabbed
Al Horford
or whatever. So
in one of the greatest plays of Deli's career, got Al Horford kicked out of the game.
Right, that was great.
There's nothing I love more than Al Horford.
Angry Al Horford and his sister.
Yes, at losing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens this year. I can't figure the Celtics out at all.
I don't think the Celtics can figure the Celtics out. Well, of course, you know the one theory is that Jason Tatum spent way too much time with Kobe this year, this summer, and he kind of acquired Kobe's shot selection.
It's not just that, like, Gordon Hayward sucks and Kyrie can't lead a team and Jaylen Brown comes off the bench now because he's erratic and, yeah. I mean, Brad Stevens maybe isn't the genius everybody thought he was. Yeah. I don't know.
But I tell you who is a genius is Danny Ainge, because have you seen the amount of draft picks the Celtics have this year?
Yeah, that's a war chest, man.
I mean, they have like 5 first-rounders this year. Like, if you were the...
Seems like a good candidate to trade Kevin Love to.
Nice.
Of course, I'm sure they would get nothing for it.
Yeah, they would, like, sign Isaiah Thomas just to trade...
Here, we're going to trade you...
Tim Frazier, another sub-6-foot point guard.
No, they just say, they'll say, yeah, we're going to trade you Terry Rozier and who's that big Australian dude with the man bun now?
Oh,
Aaron Baines.
Aaron Baines and Yabusele.
Yabusele. And, and we also want you to take on, like, you know, Gordon Hayward's contract or something, too, and trade us back a number one so we have five number ones. So.
By the way, Terry Rozier has a bad big toe.
Right. Right. Yeah. And probably won't play again.
Yeah. I mean, but if you're like New Orleans and you can get the poo-poo platter from the Lakers or you can get like 5 first rounders for Anthony Davis, what do you do?
Yeah, you're trading him for the 5 first rounders. Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question.
It's looking like none of them will probably be – well – they do have the Kings pick, and the Kings, you know, is that –
isn't the Kings pick top 10, though?
No, it's top 1.
Oh, it's only top 1. Okay.
Yeah, so
– Kings might make the playoffs.
Yeah, they might make the playoffs, but I have a hard time thinking that's sustainable. Although, I was really impressed with them, and that kind of leads to another conversation because there's been a lot of comparisons between – Colin Sexton's quote unquote growth chart and who's their point guard? De'Aaron Fox.
Oh yeah.
But I don't see that comparison enough, mainly because De'Aaron Fox is like 3 inches taller.
And yeah. He was pretty bad last year though, De'Aaron Fox.
He was really bad last year. He was second worst in the NBA in RPM. And you know,
and now Colin Sexton is.
No, he's worst.
Worst. Is he in the IT spot?
What do you mean?
The Isaiah Thomas spot where because I remember Windhorse once said like, well, there's Kyrie Irving and then there's like 100 like 3 feet of like awful and then there's Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
As far as defensive guards go.
Oh, he's pretty he's there. Yeah, he's really bad. I mean, and you can kind of see it every game. Like they almost bring him back in just to preserve the tank at the end of some games.
Yeah, I know.
But I've seen moments and I do feel like he is a worker and if he's smart and they get the right player development around him.
He seems like a really nice kid too.
Yeah, and that's like the one thing and he
did you see where they were interviewing his parents after the game that one time?
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah.
That's right. We did.
Unbelievably nice people.
Yeah. No, I like him, and he's always very like positive and upbeat in the post game interviews. It doesn't quite affect him, and maybe that's a good thing or bad thing. I don't know.
Yeah, and the other part of it is that he doesn't. I mean, for all the things that drive you nuts, he doesn't make like boneheaded, like his mistakes are lack of aggression and lack of
decision
and, you know, not just blowing by guys, but he also doesn't do like really boneheaded I'm gonna just be an idiot and mouth off here, and like I've never seen him even get close to attack, so
right.
And maybe I mean he seems very self-disciplined, so
yeah,
I think that bodes well for his future, but I
think so, too.
I do want the Cavs to get the right player development people. And you look, I mean, you're seeing guys on their second and third stop now are, you know, Moutier in New York has actually been pretty good this year, where he was just awful in Denver. I mean, sometimes not everybody can be Kyrie Irving. Some of these guys are going to take 4 years to develop. And that's part of the reason I hate the fact that they're going to get rid of one and done and they might go to 18-year-old players. It's like,
yeah,
guys just develop at different rates and not everybody can be, you know, a phenom coming out of college.
Yeah. You know. But like Zion would be, he could play in the league right now.
No, yeah, he could play in the NFL right now. Yeah, that guy is the most freakish athlete maybe I've seen since LeBron.
Yeah. I wonder if the reason why the Cavs could lose a draft pick is somehow a conspiracy with
to get Zion out of Cleveland.
Yeah, with Bill Simmons. Maybe he's behind it.
Yeah, it's the frozen envelope. He's going to end up in L.A. or New York.
Ugh. Yeah. Well, not L.A., but...
Well, do they have their own draft pick?
I don't think so.
There's got to be a protection on it, though, even if, you know, they didn't get number one.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna look that up real quick, but... I don't know anything else.
Well, the worst the Cavs can do is fifth, right? Before it gets taken away.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're in no danger of it going to the Hawks, so.
No. Well, at least not until Kevin Love's come back.
Then you're not making the playoffs. Come on. That's an impossibility.
It's not playoffs, it's top 10.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, they could still wind up winning a couple games and jeopardizing it, but
I sincerely doubt it because
I do too. I think there's too many. There's only about five teams really that are right now out of in danger, you know, like sort of out of the playoff, and four of them are in the East. I think it's only the Suns in the West that are out of it.
Yeah, yeah, and although meanwhile they're starting to play pretty decent, and you know Ayton is quietly kind of sneaking up on Doncic as a rookie. DeAndre Ayton's been pretty incredible lately.
Dude, Ben's going to smack you down.
No, I'm just saying DeAndre Ayton's playing very well as a compliment to DeAndre Ayton, not to knock Luka Doncic.
You can't be one or the other. It has to be both things.
That's exactly. Everything is binary in this day and age. Don't you know that?
That's right. Binary. Just like a Twitter.
So anything else on your mind there?
No, nothing that we should talk about on here with the just the political landscape of the last week. I don't want to get into that because I know that's a you and Tom thing anyways, and I just assume
keep it
out of it. I will say this though. There was one I've been pretty whatever about it. There was one tweet that went out today that I would say it's just about the forest fires out here that directly affects like me and my family and friends and neighbors and things like that, which I thought was absolutely unconscionable to be a communication sent out by the leader of the free world. So anyways, I will leave it at that, but otherwise, yeah, things are good. It's my wife's birthday on Friday. Yeah. She's turning the big 50.
Wow, congratulations. Wish her a happy birthday for me.
Yeah, I will. I'm making her a cake.
Nice. Or as Pedro said, I will build her a cake or something.
Well, do you remember the
I know
Napoleon Dynamite reference. I know.
I know. I'm a big fan. So.
That though, it's a good movie. But no, there was a. Do you remember? I mean, being in Canton, maybe you do. There was a bakery that used to be by where LeBron went to school at St. Vincent St. Mary called Bud's Bakery. Like
I've heard of it, but I've never been.
So they used to make this famous cake, and it's hard. It's like a banana cake. But it's got like a pineapple filling and there's like this really cool frosting on it. And it sounds weird, but it tastes delicious. And
it sounds good. So.
Well, so the Bud's Bakery went out of business, and every year for my wife's birthday, she would get this cake. And when they went out of business, she's like, oh, no. And then for years, we're like, well, I guess, you know, you're not going to get that cake anymore. But then somebody in the Beacon Journal got a hold of the recipe and did, like, a whole story on it and then actually, like, printed the recipe in Beacon Journal. So my wife's mom got a copy of it, sent it to us out here. And so now I've got that recipe. I'm going to make one of those cakes from scratch out here. So
nice. Nice. Well, you got a pictures or it didn't happen.
No, I know. I'll take some pictures. And
yeah, one of the great regrets of my life is that we had a Chinese food place out here called Chiang's, Chieng, and it was it was open for like 25 years, and the Chinese couple that ran it, they closed it and moved to Columbus to be with their kids. But after when they were closing for like a month, they put all their recipes online and I didn't download any of them. I'm so mad at myself still to this day. And I like want to track them down in Columbus just to get these recipes because the food was so good.
That's great.
Yeah. It wasn't great. I didn't get the recipes.
No.
But yeah.
Well, that's not great. But yeah, but that's
yeah.
We totally had that. But what do you think of the Browns decision today?
Most people seem pretty happy with it. I mean, I think you got to go with the guy that kind of seems most instrumental to your success from the coaching staff standpoint. And what a story from one of the great tweets I saw today was they were doing some Hard Knocks of like minor coaches meetings and just, you know, Freddie Kitchens kind of piping up and stuff like that. And it's like,
yeah,
it's just like Game of Thrones where these minor characters from early in the, in the show end up being major characters by the end of the season.
did you see this like 6 minute NFL Films piece on him?
No, I did not.
Oh man. If you get a chance, check it out. With the whole thing about the aortic, like rupture that he had and that whole thing that he went through and just kind of his whole like philosophy and stuff. Like it's pretty amazing. Like, I don't know. I mean, I, when the guy, just who the guy is and where he came from, it just seems like even though he's from Alabama, it seems like a guy that fits right in the dog pound in Cleveland. So I'm excited.
And I mean, I'm excited because most of the people I follow on Twitter who are Browns fans, also Cavs fans, we're really excited about it. So, most of those people, I trust their judgment. So,
yeah.
So I'm excited for you. I'm excited for all you Browns fans.
Well, they may be the only team with something going on for the next few years. So.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Because it's going to take a little while to rebuild the Cavs, I think.
And the Indians' offseason was not inspiring. So.
No, they seem to be really back to their old money-pinching ways. So,
yeah.
Too bad. But, you know.
That was a good run, too, and you never know, either.
That's
you know,
true.
Stranger things have happened. So.
Yeah. And look, the Cavs could, if things bounce the right way and they don't wind up getting a pick taken away from them, they could rebuild in a couple of years.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is, it's like, as much as I've complained about the Cavs and as much as I have, just kind of, they have driven me nuts. I also knee jerk defend them when, you know, the national media talks about them being poorly run. Cause it's like, okay, would you rather have the Cavs or would you rather, and I'm not the first person to make this point, or would you rather be, you know, the Heat, who had that run and then now are kind of caught in NBA purgatory of no man's land of in terms of talent, you know, good enough to barely make the playoffs, but not good enough to go anywhere there and not getting good enough players to do anything about that. You know, which one would you rather be? And, you know, if in the NBA recently, at least, it's if you're going to fail hard.
Yeah.
You know,
feast or famine.
Yeah, and are they really poorly run, or is they just making a strategic decision? I mean, I don't
know. I'm not so sure that this – I don't think we'll know until after the result of the lottery.
I love that it's just random chance that decides.
Yeah, I know. But seriously, like I don't think we're going to know if this new structure, you know, prevents tanking – or not until we see the result of it.
Oh, I think it's going to take a few years. I don't think anybody's internalized the new lottery structure, and I think what's going to happen is somebody that just barely misses the playoffs or is two or three games or places out of the playoffs is going to jump up into that top five, and it's really going to change. Like a team like Dallas, say a team like Dallas ends up with a top four pick. Well, now all of a sudden you've got Luka Doncic, and although they traded that pick to the Hawks, didn't they?
Yeah.
But I think, did they leave it unprotected, or were there protections on it?
I think it was unprotected to get to jump up that high.
Yeah, it's hard to... Yeah, I don't know. 2019... Huh. No, there was protections on it.
Okay.
So, and I'm not sure Dallas has their pick this year. Oh, yeah. Dallas gets it if it's 1 through 5. Otherwise, it's owed to Atlanta. So, yeah.
So, probably not. They're not going to be 1 through 5.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, Dallas could... A team like Dallas, if they somehow luck into the top five, it will kind of change that math. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That reminds. I guess Dallas was also a team that was looking at Love.
Oh, yeah. Who knows? I mean, I think Dallas has got to get rid of some bad contracts. I think they're still 2 years and bad contracts away. Like, their team, I could totally...
Well, who's a bad contract there?
Oh, Wes Matthews and...
Well, is he still? I mean, Wes Matthews, yeah. Feel like he's been there for 5 years.
No, yeah, but it's still a bad contract.
Yeah. And then well, I guess Harrison Barnes is
a terrible
yeah.
contract, yeah. Like, yeah. One of those guys, I could see him... Like, and I still think the Cavs are going to move their expiring deals... to try and, you know, eat bad contracts to take picks.
Oh, that was the thing I saw today. There was somebody saying that the Cavs should trade for Carmelo and send back. Well, no, because Carmelo had just a 1 year deal with Houston.
Oh, okay.
And so if they traded for Carmelo and they could trade like JR or somebody back and maybe Houston throws a pick in or something like that and just does a money exchange.
Except I think Carmelo was... Yeah. I think Carmelo gets dumped in that situation anyway. I don't think the Cavs...
Oh, no. That's a trade and retire for Carmelo.
Yeah. No, I certainly think that's an option. I think the Cavs...
could you imagine him coming to work for the Cavs?
That'd be so great.
Yeah.
That'd be so
great.
Well,
then there's your four. There's your four that you need. Who needs Anthony Bennett? Who needs Gumdrop Bear? You can get Melo.
Yeah. good time.
And Chloe could hang out with is Melo still married to that what's her name?
Lala Vasquez. Lala?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
No. Could have a whole interesting sideline for to watch them get blown out by 20 points a game.
It wouldn't be any different than how it is now.
No. Yeah, just a little more interesting on the sideline.
Yeah. So, all right. Wrapping this up, do the Cavs win a game on this road trip?
I think, I want to say they're going to surprise somebody before, because it looked like the next winnable game was Chicago at home on like the 21st or something like that. Here, I'll check it out.
So, they've got the Rockets on Friday, Lakers Sunday, Blazers.
I could see them like surprising like maybe the Blazers or something.
Maybe
like
the Jazz. I don't know. I mean, they played the Jazz okay for a half.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first night of the back-to-back because they definitely don't seem like they'd beat the Nuggets on the second half.
In Mile High, no. Who puts the – like what a jerk move to put the Nuggets on the back end of the back – of those.
I know. Although the Jazz is pretty high altitude, too.
Well,
so
that
it's
is
not
true.
Like
yeah, you've got your two high altitude teams.
Back to back. They won't be able to breathe by halftime of the Nuggets game.
It'll be like Jaren Blossom game, DNP altitude sickness.
Yeah, seriously.
But then they've got the Bulls Monday, January 21st. So that might be the first kind of real shot. Although I could see maybe the Lakers, if LeBron's not back, of, you know, of them getting up to play the Lakers.
Yeah, but that's right about the time he should be coming back from this injury. That's a full 3 weeks really. So
and I've heard the rumor he's targeted that date.
So. Yeah, well, it's on national TV too.
It always is. Yeah. So, okay. So
well, I'll be working overtime with all these West Coast games, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, Ben, you and Ben and I believe Justin May all covering a West Coast game, and yep. I may pick one up.
Like Mike's, I think Mike's taking one the Jazz game, so.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Should be interesting. So,
longest road trip of the season, I think.
Yeah, it's the Disney on Ice trip. You know, the Cavs have their rodeo trip, and Cleveland has their Disney on Ice trip. That's
right.
Coming to the queue. So,
good times.
Anyway, anything you want to pitch? Anything on your mind, non-basketball related?
Nah, not really.
Yeah, what'd you think of the Globes?
I mean, it was surprising, I guess. I mean,
I was happy for Rami Malek.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if that movie deserved to get to win over some other ones, but it's the Globes. Things are weird, the Globes.
Yes,
at least they had hosts. I've been hearing that the Oscars is not going to have a host now.
What?
Yeah. After the whole Kevin Hart debacle or whatever, they may go hostless at the Oscars this year.
Jeez, oh Pete.
That'll make it go faster anyways.
I think they should just have Warren Beatty and...
God.
Who was he out there with? Faye Dunaway.
Yeah.
For the whole show. I don't think they'd make it.
That would be
that.
8 hours.
Anyway. Yeah, I watched Bird Box. I got to say I enjoyed it. Thank you for the recommendation. It really was A Quiet Place without being able to see, though. I mean, it was like the same movie.
Yeah. Or like The Happening.
I was thinking about it, and I was realizing I got The Happening and The Village confused. So I have not seen The Happening. So
You don't need to. You've seen Bird Box.
Okay, and I've seen Donnie Wahlberg in many a movie. So
it's The Happening is one of those movies that's it's not even so bad it's good. It's just so bad it's bad.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I finished first season of Fabulous Mrs. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. What a fantastic show.
Fun, right? It's so well written.
And the cast is just fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, they did a really nice job.
I mean, Tony Shalhoub
is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Well, and Kevin Pollak's fantastic, too.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all great. I mean, you can't go wrong. Like, it's a really well cast. Even the bit parts, like the sister-in-law.
Or Jane Kaczmarek coming in as that comedian. Comedienne. I can't remember her name, but
yeah. Oh, no, or, you mean Jane Lynch. Yeah.
Jane Lynch. Yeah, sorry, not Jane Kaczmarek. Jane Lynch. And
Dick Scott.
The guy that plays Lenny Bruce is great, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's all really good. I think the writing is fantastic. So.
Well, it's not just the writing, though, because the sets and the costume and the way they kind of create that world of New York in the late 50s. Like, so much of the 50s is kind of portrayed as black and white and grainy and kind of muted, and they just make that so colorful. It's a different visualization of that era than you're used to, which I think is part of what makes the show so fun. I mean, the fashion design in that show is really good.
Yeah. No, it's very well produced, and Amazon does a nice job with their shows.
Yeah, they really do. Some of them, anyway. Yeah, I mean, every one that I enjoy, that Man in the High Castle are both really good. So
yeah.
So yeah, not too much else to kind of throw out there. Have any Oscar predictions, or are you just kind of going to wait till they come out?
I thought you wanted to make this a short podcast.
Okay. maybe we'll wait a week or two on that. You're right. We are getting long in the tooth.
Almost 2 months till the Oscars.
Do we really? Is it that far away?
It's not till March. Yeah.
Oh, okay. What do you think of I think I asked you this question on an earlier podcast. Or what do you think of the new category? The new, was it popular movie category?
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's more of like a People's Choice Award, really.
Yeah, I feel like they just invented it so they could give Black Panther an Oscar.
Sure, sure. And then they can give Avengers the sequel to Infinity War the Oscar next year.
Yeah, and it annoys me.
Or whatever Star Wars movie's coming out, yeah.
It annoys me because they already have the Pixar Oscar every year of the best animated movie, even though there's been more than one time it wasn't the best animated movie. Like, has a non-Pixar movie ever won that?
I think, didn't Frozen win that?
Okay, has a non-Disney movie ever won that?
Yeah. Maybe... What, did one of the Illumination movies win it one year, like a Minions movie or something like that?
No, I don't think so. I'd have to go back and look, but yeah, it annoys me.
I would too. I tend not to. I mean, look, here's the thing. All the awards are kind of
contrived
silly.
To begin with, yeah.
I mean, it's all the you know, navel-gazing Hollywood, like, let's slap ourselves on the back and have parties for no reasons. And I mean, look, all it's really designed to do anymore is to generate box office. When the movies all come out, the especially those smaller ones, when they come out in the, you know, November, December, January qualifying run for a week, you know, at the end of the year, and then, or on a screener, and then they're out in theaters and they get three extra months once they get nominations to generate, you know, people say, oh, well, I'll have to go see that movie now because that got nominated. It's become, you know, much more about the marketing of films. And I think Netflix is starting to change that with movies like Roma, and, you know, you'll see more and more of that. I mean, Amazon had Manchester by the Sea movie. The Big Sick. So you'll start to see more and more of that as the streaming outlets get into higher quality, and, you know, they start to attract more and more filmmakers because they've got gobs of money they can throw at them and promise them lots of control. And yeah, you'll see a paradigm shift in the next couple of years where, you know, the value of some of these award shows will start to diminish, I think. So. Not to rain on the parade, but that's
the
direction I can sort of see the industry is going. So
I do. Although I do think there's some value to, you know, promoting these smaller movies for sure. I mean,
for sure.
I don't want the American, you know, cinematic landscape to be, you know, just Disney and Star Wars movies and comic book movies. You know, it's like I want to see other things. I want movies for adults. So.
Right, but increasingly those movies for adults will be on the small screen.
Yeah.
So yeah, the small screen, which is fine because most small screens are not that small anymore.
And yeah, and I have had better experiences in my living room than I have in the theater at times. So
always good to be able to pause and go to the bathroom. Or
also, I don't have to pay $20 for a popcorn and a soda. So
exactly.
I mean, not that, and I know that I'm not trying to step on your wallet here. So
no, by all means,
yeah,
you wouldn't be the first.
But yeah, I know it's expensive to take a family to the movies, and I sometimes just wonder about the kind of intelligence of the never ending inflation of box office and concession prices. But
yeah. Well, it's the only way they can pay to the print costs to actually have the films in the theaters and to keep it's all real estate. It's all
I know the
business is open and you know, there's a premium on that now. It's why it's gone from the single theaters to the multiplexes to now the multiplexes are, if you don't have an IMAX or a Dolby theater, then you can't, you know,
XD get that. Is the one for ours.
Yeah, I mean, and now the multiplexes are pushing. The one near me is like, hey, any matinee show is now $4.99. You know, it's like, well, why would you go see anything else? You just go to the matinee show and get the same level of, you know, movie going experience if you can, but It's slightly depressing, but it's exciting about what's happening on the small screen too. So
yeah.
It just opens up more opportunities for more talent, more artists to get their work seen.
Yeah, and that's the most exciting thing is the amount of entertainment options and the amount of, if you're into a certain genre, no matter what, there's something out there for you.
Yeah.
So,
no question. Almost.
Oh, I will pitch something. I will pitch the show Letterkenny. Have you seen Letterkenny or heard of Letterkenny?
No.
So Letterkenny is, the premise of the show is it is a show that takes, it's about a small town in Canada that takes place near Thunder Bay.
Okay.
And the premise of the show is Letterkenny is a town of 5,000 people of hockey players, Christians, and Hicks. These are their stories. And it's an R-rated sitcom, and it revolves around this Hick family. But they're all, like, hyper-literate. So they have these, like, philosophical discussions. They spend 10 minutes at one point discussing the anatomy of the male scrotum. And he's like, well, what's the vas deferens with that? Or your Florida seminal vesicles. I mean, it's like...
That's hilarious.
But it's really funny, and it's really
What's
well
it on?
It is on Hulu. So it is
All right,
really
I'll check
well,
it out.
It is really well-written. Ignore, there is a Facebook parody episode that is awful. Other than that, it's really good.
Other than that, it's good. Okay.
Well,
I'll check it out.
The Facebook parody episode is called Fartbook. And aside from that episode, it is very
worth
good.
Watching. All right. I'll check it
funny.
Out.
Yeah.
Check it out.
It's pretty well done. And yeah, and the cast is really good. A lot of really good Canadian actors. So. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Cool.
So yeah, that's my recommendation for this week. So.
All right, good. Well, I'll stick with yours. Hold on, check yours out.
Okay. Well, I will. You have a good week, EG, and as always, go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.